Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is going to be a hard podcast. But first, let me just say I hope that you all had a wonderful Christmas. I hope it was merry and joyful and loving. I hope that you brought Jesus into the day in some way, shape, or form, or to the Christmas Eve day. Some of you may have your celebrations then. I hope and pray that it was as beautiful and holy as you had hoped and prayed for. Mine didn't exactly turn out the way that I had expected. So Saturday, my husband comes home. He was actually duck hunting with his brothers, his two sons, and his dad. And he comes home with a full-blown flu. I mean, put you into bed, cover you up, temperature, everything. A horrible cough. So he goes into bed. The next day, I go to Mass. It's Christmas Eve. I had set up with the priest to receive a pick. I don't know how you spell it. It's a pick. It's actually a container that holds Jesus, the Eucharist, so that people can bring Jesus in the Eucharist, Holy Communion, to the sick and the homebound. So I coordinate this with the priest. I am a wreck because I am so excited to bring Jesus in the Eucharist to my dad. Now, my dad's been falling away from the church. He's 80. He left the church when he was in his 20s. Never been back. Mortal sins. So the blessing in this whole process was, I don't know, about a month ago. We thought we were going to lose him. And I asked him, do you want to see a priest, Dad? Because he and I have had many conversations about the fact that he needs to get to confession. Because I know he's got mortal sins on his soul. And he kept telling me, no, don't worry about it. I'll get it all done on my deathbed in the hospital. And guess what? He was very prophetic when it came to this. So he said no to me when I asked him 2 days prior. Then he said yes. Actually, didn't say yes. Looked at me and asked me for a priest. He said, can you get me a priest? And I said, heck yeah, I'm on it. The priest was there in a couple of hours. And my dad reconciles his soul to God. He gets the beautiful apostolic pardon. He has his confession. He has the anointing of the sick, or what the old school people call last rites. Extreme unction is poured into this man. He is on high. He is so relieved. He feels so good. And so I'm excited, because he's now in a bed and cannot move, to bring him the Eucharist yesterday. I was a mess at Mass. I was just crying and crying and crying because I knew I was going to have Jesus in my hands. I have never touched Jesus outside of the fact of when I used to put him in my hand and then receive him in my mouth. I do not do that anymore. I am a tongue receiver, 1,000%. I just think it's more reverent. And I don't think I should touch the Eucharist. That's why I've never been one of the Eucharistic helpers. I can't even remember what their names are, but you know what they are. Extraordinary Eucharistic, I don't know, something or other. But that's why I never wanted to be that, because I don't want to be irreverent to the Eucharist. But I digress. So the priest hands me the pick, and Jesus is in it, and all I'm doing is just crying all through Mass. I mean, I must have ruined it for the poor woman who was sitting next to me wondering what is going on with this woman. So I put Jesus in my bra right next to my heart, and the whole way to the hospital, I'm bawling my eyes out. I'm praying to Our Lady of the Highway to make sure that I don't get in an accident because I can't barely see. It was like these tears would not stop. I don't know. I've had holy tears before. I'm not sure if they were. They were just tears of sadness and just tears of, I just need to cry, you know? So the whole way down, I just talked to Jesus up against my heart. I mean, oh, if I could explain the feeling that I had knowing that I had Jesus up against my heart for about an hour driving down there. And then it was time, you know, my father can't even swallow. So I, you know, said to the priest, well, he actually said to me, I didn't really say this. He said to me, if he has a problem swallowing, just break off a little piece and you consume the rest. And I said, okay. So I went through a few prayers, excuse me, and he said, I don't think I could swallow it. I said, that's okay. I'm just going to break off a little piece. Got it in his tongue. And then, of course, his tongue pushes it to the back of his tooth, so he's got to bring his fingernail up, which is all covered in blood because they're taking his blood sugar like 25 million times a day. You know, he picks it off of his back of his tooth, and I go, keep it in there. Even if you can't swallow, you know, like keep it in your mouth. And then the day, we ended the day. It was my brother, both brothers, my nephew, all there for Christmas Eve, and he receives the Eucharist. Little did I know that I just gave him bread for the journey. Because overnight, his blood pressure crashed, and he went down to ICU. And they had to intubate him, put a breathing tube in him, and put him to sleep. And then he never came back. I did have the opportunity to get to say goodbye. This is another, I cannot tell you how many blessings have occurred. I was able to give my dad Jesus for the journey. And then the following day, Christmas Day, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm awake. I feel God prompt me, get up. And I'm like, I don't have to get up yet. It's not 5 o'clock. It's Christmas. You know, what am I going to get up now for? You know, get up, get up, get up. Just kept feeling that prompting. So I did. Went downstairs, made some coffee. And then my phone rang at about 4:30. And it was my brother, who had been sleeping in the lobby of the ICU and was calling me to talk to him before they put him to sleep, before they intubated him, because he took a turn for the worse. And so I got to say goodbye, but I didn't really even understand what was going on, to be honest with you. I just thought he was getting this breathing tube. I was even asking if he was going to be able to talk afterwards. I was very confused. And then 7:30, after we talked to the doctors about resuscitation and how if they do CPR, may break his frail body. I mean, I'm telling you, he basically starved to death and his body just shut down. This is basically what happened. Anyway, we were joyful and sad, shocked. I mean, we all knew it. We've seen him dying week after week after week, getting worse and worse and worse. Even though we thought numbers are getting better, he's not. Nothing is changing in him, even though his numbers are getting better. The lab works. Joyful in terms of he's no longer suffering. We all saw it. Joyful in terms of we will be looking at this day so different from this day forward. It's going to be the day that Jesus took my dad home. And it's going to be the day that we all know that he went to heaven. This is one of the things that I've been very blessed to explain to everyone in my family about the Catholic faith and why these sacraments are throughout our life experience. From baptism all the way until the time that we're about to die on our deathbed. So yesterday, completely blue. I mean, it just was a blur. Of course, because of the flu, we canceled Christmas, so the kids didn't come over. They're going to come over next weekend, but wow. Wow, what a different Christmas. So it was basically me and my husband, and all I did was on and off cry all day long. My eyes were so red. The bags under my eyes were beet red. I mean, and it's not from sadness in terms of he's dead. It's, okay, that doesn't come out the right way at all. Okay, yes, he's dead. There's sadness with that. That's what the sadness is about, is that he's no longer going to be here with me to hang out with, to laugh with, to love. Okay. Death doesn't matter because I have this beautiful faith and he's received all these amazing sacraments to get him right up into heaven. So I'm joyful about that. It's this bizarre dichotomy of emotions where I'll be bawling my eyes out uncontrollably and then all of a sudden it'll float away. Just whew, go away because I'm thinking about God up there with Jesus. God, my dad up there with God and with Jesus up there. And so everything kind of just slides away. It's just so bizarre. But I am telling you, I'm joyful. I'm grateful. I'm so happy. And then I hear from my priest that when people die on Christmas, it's a blessing. What other amazing kind of yin and yang of life is life entering into the world and one passing out of it? Jesus coming in and my dad going up to see him. And I think about all of his family. Every single relative of his is already passed on. Will they all be up there waiting for him and showing him around? I don't know. So let me talk to some of you who might be, well, hey, Kendra, that's great. But my mom or my dad refused to see a priest or didn't get last rites or extreme unction or bread for the journey or whatever. How am I supposed to be joyful? Let's forget when they die. You have faith in God's mercy. I've thought about this a lot because I've been asked about this a lot. What if someone dies and they weren't a practicing Catholic? They had mortal sins on their soul. According to the Catholic Church, they go to hell, no collecting $200, no get out of jail free card, right? That's how the church says it works. But God is a merciful God. What about someone who believes, doesn't have mortal sins on their soul, but isn't a Catholic? Same thing. Because they're not a practicing Catholic, it's a mortal sin not to go to Mass. They haven't gone to confession once a year. They are going to hell. I can't at all speak for God and his mercy on our souls. I can't. I have to say that's what the Catholic Church, that is what the Catholic Church teaches. You say that 10 times fast. That's a tough one. But God's mercy is endless, inexhaustible. So I look at people who are faith-based and who aren't committing mortal sins, and just because they're not Catholic, they're not going to heaven? I don't know. I know what the church teaches. I got to stick behind it, but I also have to say, wait a minute. I also look at God, and I don't know God's ways. Hello, how many times do I say that? I know he's way more merciful and loving than I could even comprehend. So for all of you in these kinds of situations, have faith in God's love and mercy and keep praying. This was another grace that happened. So yesterday morning, again, I'm up at 4, get the call at 4:30. I am downstairs with my husband. It's about 7:15. And I said, you know what? I just feel God asking me to pray. So I'm going to go pray. And I went upstairs and I prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet, which is not a typical thing that I go to. I should have a devotion to Divine Mercy. I should pray Divine Mercy every day at 3, and I do occasionally get it at that time. But at 7:15, I started praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and I didn't stop until 7:45. And I missed the call at 7:30, which is when they called and said that my dad had passed. I was praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet when he died. This is just God, how he just winks along the way. And yes, I prayed for a miracle. I prayed for God's will to be done. But I did pray for a miracle. I asked for my dad to be wholly healed. Like, not just, hey, I'm taking a turn on the corner, you know, and I'm going up on my numbers a little bit. I'm feeling a little bit better. No, I wanted full-blown healing, where the dude has his muscle mass. He could turn out of bed and stand up and go home. That's what I prayed for. But then I left it and I gave it to God. Only if it's your will, Lord. And at the same time, I also prayed, but Lord, if that's not your will, please take him fast. Because he did suffer for weeks upon weeks. I just basically watched him wither away and die before me. But I'm so grateful that I could be there. Anyway, not to be a Debbie Downer. On the contrary, I want y'all to look at death as a new life for you and for others, and keep praying for those souls that have departed. Do not stop. Darn, I just started getting into like purgatory over the past couple of days. I'm going to see if I can get Patricia Sandoval on my YouTube channel. She's a friend of mine. I didn't even know she was into this purgatory stuff. I tripped over a video of hers the other day with this other guy that I've never seen in the Catholic space. And I was like, oh, we got to pray more for the people in purgatory. All of the friends and family members that have gone before you. They need prayers. She was talking about Marilyn Monroe, where Jesus was basically putting on her heart, nobody is praying for her. She's down on the lowest level of purgatory, closest to hell. Pray for the souls in purgatory, especially the ones by name that you know. All right, let's pray. Speaking of which, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Oh, Lord, we don't know your ways, but we know that everything that you do is for our sanctification or for the sanctification of those around us. So even though we may be in dire straits where we feel like nothing is going our way, or we've had a death or an illness or a job loss or financial problems or addictions or absolute out of control living where we just don't feel like we can do it. We can be these holy people that you ask us to be, that you command us to be. So from the depths of our heart right now, we just ask you to come in to our souls, our minds, our bodies. Help us to come to you, to always have peace, joy, and love, and trust in your mercy and love. In your holy name, in your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know what's going on. My tongue, my brain, I'm all over the map, but I am kind of exhausted. I'm just going to tell you. All right, everyone. I love you all. I want to thank you all for your prayers. I felt them. I don't know how to explain it, but I knew that I had a ton of people behind me. And God knew that too. My dad, when my dad, you know, looks on his life, he is going to be amazed at how many people were praying for him. People who didn't even know him. Because that's what we do. So let's not forget about those people in purgatory. Okay? Alrighty, everyone. I love you all. Find something more with God, soul, mind, and body. I am heading down to the hospital to pick up all the stuff from his room. Going to be starting to make the plans, the next phase of this part of my life. I know many of you have already been through it. Many of you have not been through it. It's not fun, for sure, but it is the cycle of life. I will come to you tomorrow, though, to talk about New Year's. We're going to do a lot of talking about New Year's and what we're going to do for our January challenge. So keep thinking and praying about that, but we'll dive into that a little bit more mañana. All right. Have a blessed and inspired day.